previous one and the previous month. we should be titling this message to that, not again, again and again and again, right? Because we seem to hear about these disasters going on left and right. But don't worry, that will be your next week's sermon, all right? I don't know if you heard, but Hurricane Nate came about Central America and came about parts of Mexico, and then it hit the mainland of the United States, and it did a number on many places. Costa Rica had like 30 people die because of the floods. Then we heard that it went into Alabama and made a big havoc out there. So it seems like added to all that, all these wildfires around the West, has made this year an even more special one for disasters, right? And I'm not talking about politically, you know what I'm talking about, but it's just been one thing after another. Yeah, some of you got that. In Central America, like I said, Nate killed people. Then Mississippi, Alabama, fires in California. And please remember, Californians are people too. They are Americans. And they need our help, even though nobody wants them. And I know, I lived in Washington State, and this is all I heard: Californians, go home. Right? It's not gringos go home, it's Californians go home. All you do is just increase the price of properties whenever you go anywhere. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of that, but please don't hate me. I just want to relax things a little bit. I do understand the seriousness of what's going on. And I do understand that the loss of life and the loss of property around us is serious business. And of course, you know that my land, Puerto Rico, is also being affected, and it continues to devolve in that disaster. So our hearts are in pain, we're worried, and we know that people have relatives in these places, and it's just been hard. It's been a hard year. So we want to acknowledge that, and also just bring that up as we are praying that the God is also aware of what's going on. Now, today we're going to talk about freedom. And our country has this thing about freedom, right? It's like a fixation. And sometimes that fixation and freedom has become more and more a quest for what I like to call spiritual lawlessness. Rather than a spirit of freedom, it's like going to the extreme where we just want to be free for the sake of being free. We particularly have fought tooth and nail just for the freedoms that we think we deserve, whether it's our rights or our ideals or the ability for us to speak. We want to protect the freedom to exercise those rights to the full extent of the law. And just as our forefathers did, those who brought this idea to bear, we also have these ideals, but we don't really practice what we preach. I'll explain what I mean. What happens is we mainly confuse freedom with licentiousness. We think that freedom does not include responsibility or equality or justice or even love towards the other. We have these laws and concepts of freedom, but we always end up doing what is more convenient and furthers the interest of number one. And you know who number one is, right?
Me.
Me. There you go. That one is not God, but us. And I think that God knew very well where we were coming from. And he proceeded to guide humanity into what would be good for us. And he gave these Ten Commandments to the people. It's called the Decalogue, right? Some of you know that word. That's a Sunday word. Right? Ten Commandments. And it seems to be like a restriction on the freedoms of the individual. These Ten Commandments are rejected in our society. Our secular society just doesn't want to hear about this because they recall some things that do not agree with our own idea of freedom. And I assume that the same thing happened with the Israelites, who after being freed from slavery now contemplate limitations bestowed upon their freedom. Think about it. You are released from slavery, right? And what are you thinking in your mind? I am free. And the next thing you hear is, thou shalt not. And if it was me, I'd be saying, wait a minute, time out, right? What's going on here? I thought you took us out of Egypt so that we would be free, that we would have our land, and we would be able to do anything we wanted. And here you are, putting down the rules. And you know what happens when freedom is limited, right? Well, there is in perception or where it is in reality, if freedom is limited, we fight it. See, the idea of freedom in postmodernity aligns more with what I call that evolutionary concept of the survival of the fittest. Right? More than with a loving God and the love of your neighbor. I'm just going to interject something here. I've been watching a series called The West, made in the 90s by Mr. Burns. And I really didn't know the history of the West, so I dug into it in that program. And I tell you, it's interesting to see how people can take away other people's freedoms in the name of freedom. Now, for those who are not too familiar with the Decalogue, let us address its content briefly. And I told Ruth that I was going to take the next 3 hours to go over these. Now, note the distribution of the commandments. The first three are talking about God and the concept of this one God that doesn't want any others to interfere, to be in the midst. And then there's this one that deals with a holy day, right? The Sabbath. And then there's this other one that is talking about relationships with family, specifically with our parents. And then there's five of them that deal with the rest of humanity. Did you see that? Right? There's these three that are about God, then there's about the Sabbath thing, and then there's this about this parents thing, and then all of the other five deal with the rest of humanity and how we relate to them. But before this is laid out for us, God does something that should make us think. God pulls out his ID card. And he says to the people, I am. Right? I am. Now, if you see a policeman coming with a badge, what do? Huh? You're like, ah! Right? Please don't do that to me. I don't need a ticket. Right? So God basically pulls out this ID card and stops the Israelites. And just like with the cops, maybe in the back of our minds, we're thinking that the cops really have nothing to do with us being free. Right? Basically, they want to enforce the rules. We're not thinking about them keeping us safe. We're not thinking about them being good for us. We're actually thinking, why are they limiting my freedoms? So here comes God and pulls out his ID. And he says, I am the Lord, your God. And then he explains that he is the one that got all the Israelites out of Egypt. He freed them. And sometimes we don't think of freedom as owed, right? Most of the time we're thinking of freedom as a right. Now think about it. Where does our freedom come from? Is it our right, like I said, or hasn't bought by the government? By someone? Has it been bought by war? How is it that we see ourselves considering this modern world ideals versus this ancient guidance? Are you conflicted about this idea of freedom that we have? And then these ancient words that try to invade our space. I know, it's that issue of obedience, right? Obedience is hard. At least that's what my kids say. It's so hard that this is what God has to do. God has to, quote unquote, put the fear of him in the people. You saw that how it was written, right? God had to put the fear of him in the people so that they would pay attention. Now that makes me wonder about our nature. Thou shalt not. But we hear, thou shalt, why not? Right? It's like there's always this bucking against the rules. I'm reminded of the scene in the Garden of Eden. You remember that? But we were told not to eat the mangoes. We could eat all the other plants and all the fruit, all the papayas, the soursops, the avocados, and the guavas. We could eat all of that, but not the mangoes. Because then we will die. Of course, that's the Puerto Rican version. What do you mean, says the serpent? You will not die. You will live in heaven, actually, because mangoes are heavenly. You see the thing? It's like something that is from the beginning, it just keeps perpetuating in our lives. You can eat everything, you can have everything, you are free. But there's this one exception. And even if there's one exception, guess what we do? We go for it, right? That one. And you can eat all the guavas that you want. Man, they're great. But no, I want the mangoes. Obedience is hard. Because it requires something of us. You know what that is? Trust. It requires trust. And what puzzles me is, why is it that we trust the one that contradicts the saving Creator God and ourselves more than God's self? I remember when my kids were growing up and they were 12, 13, 14, 15. If they had questions, they would not come to us for guidance. They would go to the experts, their 12-year-old friends. Isn't that weird? I think we have learned to distrust not only our Father in heaven, but also our parents, our friends, and sometimes our neighbors who probably want the best for us. But we just can't not let ourselves trust them. We distrust our government. And I'm sure they have given us reason to. But worse than that, we distrust even ourselves. I think we're in a pickle. The thing is that this I am your Lord God is unlike any of the others mentioned here. This God has proved over and over again, even in the midst of difficulty and disasters, that He has our best interest in mind. Even as it seems like He's putting the fear of God in us, remember that it is so that we may not sin. As that last sentence of this passage says, so that we may not sin. It's interesting when I read that. Do not be afraid. For God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you. Did you hear that? Doesn't it sound like a contradiction? Do not fear, because God has come to put the fear of God in you. But if we just hear that, we will be puzzled. But listen to the last part. So that you do not sin. So that you do not sin. Just to conclude. What's the matter with our concept of sin nowadays? Do we see sin just as an object of God's grace? Or do we see it as a way to relate to others? You should not kill anybody. You should not take stuff away from anybody. You should not even think about anybody's things, right? Coveting others, right? You should not steal. You should not lie. What are those things, if not good counsel for how we relate to others? Maybe the ones that have everything distorted is us. And God needs to put the fear of God in us. Let's pray. Father, in light of all these things that are going on around us, we still have a relationship that we need to deal with, and that is yours. And it's not only you, but also those who are around us. Because life is about relationships. And life is about relationships with those who we love, who we care for, and those who we do not necessarily love or care for. And it seems like this whole matter in the center is us trying to figure out a way to do that. And I pray that, God, that you may help us to see that these commandments, these guiding posts, are set for our good, are set so that we are benefited, so that we may have a healthy relationship with you and with those around us and with ourselves. We need to acknowledge that you are our God. We also need to acknowledge that we need a rest and have a healthy time for our brains, our bodies, our souls. And we need to acknowledge that we have parents and friends and acquaintances and neighbors and people around us. The healthier we are, we can make their lives even healthier. So I pray, God, that in the midst of all this thing that is going on around us, that we may keep our focus in you who are our God. You who want the best for us. And you who want the best for the world. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.